Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 120 in the series entitled Fake Emotions. Aren't all of these spiritual emotions plain fantasy? This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
I won't miss out on my regular good evening. The great sage of the late 1700s and the early 1800s, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, had a son whose name was Rabbi Shlomo Eiger. Rabbi Shlomo had a son whose name was Rabbi Leibele Eiger. Reb Leibele Eiger became a Kotzker Chassid, one of the great disciples of the Rebbe of Kotzk. His father, Reb Shlomo Eiger, was what was then known as a fierce misnagit, a very powerful opponent to Chassidim and Chassidus. He was a wealthy Jew, he was a great Torah scholar, and he was the son of the giant of giants, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he was extremely perturbed and upset, to use a mild term, about the fact that his son became a chassid. The tradition has it, I think, also that he even sat shiva, and he rent his garments when he heard the news, and he tried to do everything he can to persuade his son to come back, so to speak, to quote-unquote the way of truth, to Torah true Judaism. And finally he decided to write a letter to the Kotzke Rebbe himself. And in the letter he wrote down all his perspective and his view, and he concluded and he said, "And if you don't send my son back, if you don't tell him to come back, I will use my power as a father and force him, based on the mitzvah of kibudav, a child is commanded to respect his father, that he needs to leave you and come back. I will use my power as a father to make a decree upon him, to impose a decree that he has to leave your domain." So the Kotzke Rebbe responded, and he said that the Gemara says in Nida that shloisha shutfin yesh ba'adam, every human being has three partners that invested in him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avi V'imai. One's father, one's mother, and God. Certain dimensions of the child come from the father, from the seed of the father. Other dimensions of the child come from the egg of the mother. Many dimensions of the child come from the combination of the seed and the egg. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisim by neshama. then there is that element of Hashem, the spirituality, the soul, that comes from Hashem. The Kotzker Rebbe said, which part of your child came to me? The part of Hashem that's invested in him. No other part came to me. Now, the ability of a father to make a decree upon his child are only on those parts that belong to him, that came from him, but on the part that belongs to Hashem, that you can't make a decree upon. And that's the part of Rebbe Eger that came to me. Now, this was the Kotzker's impeccable, sharp way of conveying the message that he tried to convey, that you misunderstand what Chassidus is and what Chassidim are and what drove him to come to me. But this was the way in which he conveyed the message. I thought it serves as a somewhat as a preface to the final section of the 44th chapter of Tanya, which I hope we will be able to conclude today. With Alter Rebbe discusses some new elements concerning the relationship between the Jew and Hashem. Maybe this can be said about all chapters, but this is a quite complicated chapter in Tanya. It's a very complicated chapter. Its first half and certainly the second half. And not only does the Alter Rebbe write, as usually in Tanya, writes very briefly and uses concise terms, but he's also exploring emotions, not just ideas, but emotions that are very deep or are very godly. And if one didn't experience them, it's very difficult to talk about it, to explain it. He's not talking about abstract philosophical ideas, but very deep emotions embedded in the soul. And like all the chapters, when you read it a few times, genuinely, with sensitivity, with the concentration and meditation, one discovers in this chapter, like in the others, a complete world perspective. But it takes a lot of work, intellectual work, mainly emotional work, in order to grasp somewhat of the Alter Rebbe's message in this chapter. Whenever anybody learns such a chapter, or certainly tries to teach such a chapter, you always have to have, I think, one leg steeped in earth and one leg soaring in heaven, which is what makes the Tanya unique, that on the one hand, the author, the Alter Rebbe, tries to take you to heaven, or even to the heaven of heavens, but on the other hand, never forgets to come back to the earth, and to come back to that part of us that remains earthly, and to pick that part up as well. Now, like in the rest of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe attempts here to change one's focus from a self-centered universe and lifestyle to a God-centered universe and lifestyle, which is a very drastic transition and metamorphosis for anybody who attempts to take that path. We're naturally self-centered and ego-centered and oriented. The self is at the center of our perspective and our lifestyle, and Alter Rebbe tries to make that shift. But in this chapter, in that itself, he talks about two levels. Because Perek Mamdala, the 44th chapter, is designated, dedicated to explore two types of loves that exist in the Jewish soul, two new categories. One he never mentioned before in Tanya. The second one he did mention previously in two places, in chapter 10 and chapter 41. First he calls Nafshi Visicha in Hebrew, my soul, I love you, I crave for you, I long for you. And the second, Kibrodi Shtadl, a child who gives up everything, surrenders itself for its parents. The first love can be defined as a spiritual, self-centered love. But it's a spiritual self-centered love, which means when one comes to realize that the true self is Hashem, the life of my life is Hashem, the life of my soul is Hashem, I'm naturally in love with my soul and I long for my life. The second one is a truly God-centered love. The first love comes from the fact that one understands, one feels that Hashem truly constitutes his or her soul. And just like a body is in love with its spirit, with its consciousness, it's particularly expressed when the body is ill, sick, tired, drained. We crave for a revived spirit. We crave for our health to return to us. We crave, in a word, for our soul. Same when a Jew becomes truly aware of the fact that Hashem constitutes his real soul. So when there is a void in the connection and the relationship, he longs for the reunion. He longs for the unity to occur once more. The second love comes from the fact that one becomes aware of the truth that Hashem constitutes, Hashem is his or her real father. And just like a child possesses an innate, inherent love and affection towards a father, towards a mother, furthermore, there is a possibility that there should be a child. Not every child, but it's possible that there should be a child who has such profound feelings towards a father or a mother that he's ready to surrender everything, including the very self, for his parents, which means more than he is driven by his own needs and desires. He is driven by their needs and desires. The same, the Alter Rebbe said, a Jew naturally, inherently, and deeply possesses an intense, powerful love towards Hashem because of the fact that he is our true and authentic father and mother and source of our life. But this love is very hidden, very concealed. And in order to reveal it, the Alter Rebbe said, one needs to talk about it and one needs to think about it. Which means, in other words, one needs to train himself, as he put it, or train herself to think. And think the following concept, that I have a soul, and this is the nature of my soul. In me there is a nature and a love that my soul possesses, which transcends my very soul. There is a dimension of my soul, of my consciousness, that doesn't want itself. It wants its father. It's not driven by its own needs, not even its own spiritual needs. It's driven by the needs of its father. And I have that dimension in me. Talk about it. Think about it, Alter Rebbe said. And I want to fulfill what my father needs more than I want to fulfill that which I need even for my existence. And this expresses itself practically, the Alter Rebbe said, in learning Torah and observing mitzvahs in order to fulfill the desire of the father because of his major pleasure. Of a soul coming out of prison. Who can describe a child's delight when a prince, when the king sees, who can describe a king's delight when the prince comes out of prison, which is what a mitzvah is all about, the soul coming out of prison. Or on a deeper level to fulfill my father's need to have a home in this world. The Alter Rebbe says this training yourself of talking about it, thinking about it, creates an emotion. And even if the emotion is not totally authentic and true, but nonetheless, when you know intellectually that this is going on inside of you, and this love is truly a part of you, albeit concealed and very concealed, and this love impact your behavior and it causes you to behave in a certain way, to do mitzvahs with a certain animation and a certain vitality, driven by the desire to fulfill and give you to fulfill the needs of your father and give him pleasure, so to speak. So that which is missing in middle, we have the source, the essence of the love embedded in the heart. We have the result, the fulfillment of the mitzvahs with a certain inspiration and vitality. The peace that's in the middle, the void, the conscious, authentic emotion, he says, Hashem fills that void. And then the Alter Rebbe added that even if I cannot develop any type of feeling in my heart, even an illusion, I can still imagine this type of love in my mind. I can depict it in my mind. Which means one can think the following idea. If I would feel this type of love towards my God, how would I behave? And he behaves that way. I depict this love in my mind. If I would experience this in my heart, how would I behave? What would be my action or my words or my thoughts at this very moment? And behave that way. The Alter Rebbe says here again, Hashem joins the thought to the deed and supplements or fills the void lacking in the middle, the emotion that's not present, which is, by the way, also a very powerful approach in human relationships. Some people are sometimes emotionally blocked for various reasons. Could be because of deep, tragic abuse.
It's a God consciousness, what you're saying. That the thoughts that
yes.
are emanating in the is coming from Hashem into the person's mind. It's coming, that's what you're saying, Rabbi, right?
Sometimes certain people are incapable of developing a love. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, fortunate you are. But unfortunately, there are many people who are incapable of developing real emotions of love towards another human being. Usually comes from deep impressions or psychological elements that are deeply ingrained in their psyche. And it really turns them into prisoners. They can't experience intimacy, emotional vulnerability, a real dimension of love. And here the Alter Rebbe talks about it in the relationship with Hashem, that sometimes what such a person ought to do is depict that love in your mind. Imagine, what would I do if I would be feeling that love? What would I be like? And be that way, and ultimately Hashem will join the forces, the thought and the behavior which are missing the bridge, which are emotions, Hashem will become that bridge for you. It seems throughout the Tanya, it's a very good question, it seems throughout the Tanya that Alter Rebbe believes that you are fulfilling at least on some level the mitzvah of Ahavta, the mitzvah of loving Hashem. So it seems. The Alter Rebbe brings in other discourses that he heard from his Rebbe, the Maggid, Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha, how can you command a Jew to love? How can you command anybody to love? Love is an emotion. You can't force somebody to feel an emotion. Either you feel it or you don't feel it. So the Maggid would always explain, Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha means you should meditate on certain truths which will inevitably produce the love. So the mitzvah is on the meditation, the mitzvah is on the reflection, on the contemplation. Here he talks about two elements. One is the element that he is my soul, and one is the element that he is my father. But now let's continue. We approach now a difficult piece.
So you're saying that the father
yeah.
is promising that
Hashem is. Yes. Yes. We learned it last week. It's based on a Gemara in Kiddushin, Machshava Toiva, Kaddish Baruch Hu Matzair Falamaisa, which he explained in chapter 16. A good thought, an intellectual awareness is joined with the deed through Hashem's intervention.
Yes, but that may mean that in terms of spa,
Alter Rebbe, in Tanya, he's not talking about the reward. He's talking about, the Tanya is very little reward-oriented. Both. You need the machshava, you need the maisa, and the bridge is created by Hashem. Which is quite a powerful concept when you think about it. Okay, weiter. We are up to page 126, the two dots, vihine. A little below the center of the page, there are two dots, a colon, followed by vihine beis p'chines avas elu. That's where we are up to on page 126. Zog da alter Rebbe, vihine. Beis p'chinais avaseilu. The said two categories of love, which are the love of nafshi v'sicha, my soul, I love you, and the love of kibrodish tadal, my father, I love you. These two categories of love, avshen yerushalonu maviseinu, even though they are an inheritance unto us from our forefathers. Ukemaiteva benafshi seinu, and they are like a natural instinct in our souls. And Alter Rebbe adds parenthetically, and so too, as a natural instinct, is the fear that is comprised in them. Shehi leira mili pared chas v'shalem. Mimakar chayenu v'avinu ha'amiti baruch hu. Namely, the fear of being sundered and detached, heaven forbid, from the source of our life and our true Father, blessed be He. In other words, coupled and included in this natural love of the soul is also an element of yira, a fear to be disconnected, to become severed from the source of our life, from our true soul, and from our true Father. Just like a child, we know the trauma and the fear that overtakes a child when he or she realizes that daddy or mommy, father or mother, have left it, have abandoned it. There's just a natural fear that strikes in a very deep chord in a child. And thus it's also true in the spirituality in the Jewish soul. Afal pikein, nonetheless, despite the fact that these two loves, of my love to my soul, I love my soul and I love my father, which are both Hashem, they are natural. They are a natural property of the Jewish soul nonetheless. They are not termed instinctive fear and love, unless they remain in one's mind and thought alone, v'talu maislibay, and they remain in the latency of one's heart. For us, and then, mekaimon biyutzvir is the yitzira. Their place, their abode, is in the 10 divine emanations of the world of yitzira, the world of formation, which is the world of natural godly emotions. Ulasham hein mai loisima henatera v'amitzvahs, and it is to there, to the world of Yetzirah, to which they, this natural love and fear, raise up with them the Torah and mitzvahs, habois machamason ubesibason, of which they have been the inspiration and the cause. Those Torah and mitzvahs that come as a result of their inspiration and their impact are elevated with them to the world of formation. Avok shein bizgalusli boy, but when they, what they, these two degrees of love, I love my soul and I love my father, when they are in a manifest state in the heart, when they're not concealed, when they're not latent and dormant, when they're not only in the mind, but when they're revealed in the heart, then the Alter Rebbe says, Nikroyim ru'usa deliba bezoyar. They are defined in the Zoyar as ru'usa deliba, the heart's desire, the heart's craving, which is the term for a more exalted love than natural, instinctive love. It's a much deeper love. Umekaimon, and their place, the place of this love and awe, is biyutzvir, is the bria, is in the 10 divine emanations of the higher, deeper world, the world of creation. Ulasham, and it is to there that hein ma'ale siman ha'teirah v'amitzvahs habayis machamosan. It's to there that they raise up with them the teirah and mitzvahs of which they have been the cause, the teirah and mitzvahs which have been performed with the inspiration, with the zealousness, with the fire of this love, are elevated to their abode, which is in the 10 divine emanations of the world of Bria. Why? Although they are natural emotions, Agdal Tenebe Mipnei, because Sheyitziyoson Meyahelem Vehester Halev Alpchinas Gilui, because their emergence from the latency and concealment of the heart into a state of revelation, he al yidei hadas, comes through the faculty of das, of intellectual application, utkiyas hamachshava b'chayzik, and it comes through a powerful fixation of the mind, v'hizboynenus atzum mi'um kedeliba, and from an intense and powerful meditation and concentration from the depth of one's heart. Yatir v'todir be'ein seif baruch hu, a meditation that is very powerful and very frequent concerning the endless reality of Hashem, Eichu Chayenu Mamesh, as to how He is our very life, Vavinu Hamiti, and how He is our true Father, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. And since this contemplation is what produces the manifest emotion in the heart, in order to experience this love which is natural, in a revealed way, in a palpable way in our heart, it requires this type of fixation of the mind and this type of meditative and contemplative rigorousness. So, my da'azois, mashakasov b'tikunim, it's knowing what is written in the tikunim in a section of Zohar called Tikuni Zohar. Tikun 6, ki ba'olam ha'briyah, that in the world of briyah, mekanen otamon imoyla, their nests, there dwells the supernal mother. What does it mean, the supernal mother? Zagdal Terebbe, Shehi Ais Beinenus Be'erin Sof Chaya Chayim Baruch Hu. This is the contemplation of the infinite energy of the Blessed Endless One, Chaya Chayim Baruch Hu, the life of life, blessed be He. Ukamaymer Elio, and as Elio, Anavi Elijah the Prophet also says, in the introduction to Tikkuni Zohar, in the section known as Pasach Elio, Bina libo bahalev maven. Bina is the heart, and with it the heart understands. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? We see in Zohar that the world in which there is reflection, in which there is hisboinenus, meditation on the transcendence, on the greatness of Hashem, that is the world of Briya. The world of Yetziras, the world of emotions. And since this love emerges only as a result of powerful meditation, which is connected to the world of Bria. So even though these emotions are intrinsic and innate in the soul, they transcend the world of Yetzirah, and they soar to the world of Bria, and it's there that they raise the Torah and mitzvahs that are performed as a result of these emotions. And this is indicated in Bina Libo Vahalev Maven, that when the heart understands, when the heart experiences an emotion through bina, through understanding, through awareness, this is connected with bina liba. There are certain emotions that are in the heart, but the only way they come out in a manifest way is through bina, ba'alev maven, and therefore they are connected to bina, imayla, which is known as the supernal mother, which is intertwined and interconnected with the world of Bria.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes. What does it mean that it's latent in his mind? It's what the theme he explained many times, that there are two types of emotions. There are palpable emotions that are really felt in the heart, and there are more intellectual emotions that you understand the concept well. The concept creates a conviction. It compels your behavior. But that fiery passion and romantic zealousness doesn't exist. That bren, that yearning, that fire, that flame, does not exist. It hasn't reached that point. One second. And Alter Rebbe adds, v'loyoid, and furthermore, elisha beis p'chinis avis elu aniskaris l'mayla, the two categories of love that have been explained above. Again, I love you, Hashem, because I love my soul. I love you, Hashem, because I love my Father. Hein klulois min p'chinis avarab. They incorporate a quality of love defined as avarab, as the awesome love described in chapter 43. Ugdailo mo'ula mit chilur chimusichla. It's greater and more sublime even than intellectual, transcendental fear and love. Asher ha'av nikras le'el b'shem avas olam. Which this kind of love, the intellectual love, has been termed above in chapter 43 as avas olam. And these two loves of chapter 43 partake of a quality that exists in Avar Rabbah, which is far loftier and more sublime than Avas Olam. So the Alter Rebbe says, not only do these two loves transcend the world of Yetzirah, transcend the natural emotions, and reach the world of Bria, the place of the intellectual emotions, but furthermore, they have a quality within them through which they transcend even the quality of the intellectual emotions, and have something within them from Avar Rabbah, which as he discussed in chapter 43, is rooted in the world of Atzilus, the highest world of the spiritual world, the world of intimacy. And this is the uniqueness of these two loves, described in chapter 44. And the Alter Rebbe finishes, and we're supposed to figure it out now.
But it's different than the Avar Rabbah that he spoke before.
Yeah, it's not the Avar Rabbah discussed in 43, which is a gift from above. This is not that. But he says it has in it one of the qualities of that Avar Rabbah. You don't call it Avar Rabbah. He calls it a different name. But it has in it other quality.
What are the two loves?
In chapter 44. One is, I love you, my soul, and I love you, my father. No. Avasaylam is the chilu rechimu sichlam. Avasaylam is the intellectual love and awe described before in chapter 43. This is on one hand natural to the soul. It's not generated or created by the mind. But on the other hand, in order to be revealed, you need a very deep mind and a powerful mind. And furthermore, it has in it something of Avar Rabbah. Which means that this love really travels through three worlds. The world of Yetzirah, the world of Bria, and the world of Atzilus. Now, let's try to explain this a little bit, at least. I mean, one really has to review these... You know, these lines again and again, and try to get somewhat of the fire that Alter Rebbe is sharing here with us, the gift that he's giving us here. Someone asked me last week if this love, defined here as Nafshi Visicha, I love you, Hashem, because I love my soul, and you constitute my soul in truth, which is hidden in every Jewish soul. He says it's an inheritance from our fathers. It just has to be revealed. Is this the love he has been describing and talking about throughout the Tanya, defined constantly as an Av Mesuteris, a concealed love that's innate to the Jewish soul, which he introduced beginning from chapter 18, discussed it in 18 and 19 and 25 and 41, and discussed that that's the source of Jewish martyrdom, the ability of Jews throughout history to die for Hashem comes from that love. But throughout the Tanya, he never mentioned Nafshi Visicha. This is the first time he mentions it. And therefore, here it becomes obvious that he introduced here a new love. This is a new dimension. This is a new love. To the extent that when this love is revealed, he says it's not even the chilu ruchim utivim. It cannot be defined as the natural love and awe that the Jewish soul possesses. It's also evident from the fact that the former love discussed throughout the Tanya, the natural concealed love in the Jew, the Alter Rebbe's method to get in touch with that and to awaken it and to arouse it is memory. He says this in chapter 25, in chapter 38, in 39. You have to remember it. Over here, this love, in order to arouse it, to allow it to become manifest in your heart, he says, not only do you need das, but you need kiyas ha-machshove b'chayzeg v'zboinenus atzume meyumke deliba yatir v'tadir. A powerful fixation of the mind and a deep meditation from the depth of the heart frequently and powerfully. It's not about memory or recalling. In fact, chapter 18 began that even the Jew who cannot meditate and doesn't have an intellectual ability to create a love can remember the innate love. And that's why Karev Elecha Adavar Miyait. That's why developing an emotion to godliness, he said, is very accessible to everybody because it's there. Here, the condition, the prerequisite to arouse it is deep meditation and powerful and reflection, which just demonstrates to us that he introduced a new love in chapter 44. What is the difference? Well, it is obvious here that there is a concept called the chilu rechimu tivim, natural fear and natural love, which is connected to the world of Yetzirah. There is the chilu rechimu sichlim, intellectual fear and love, which is connected to the world of Bria. There is Ahava Rabbah, discussed in 43, which is connected to the world of Atzilus. And in this chapter, he introduces the love to Hashem as your soul, and the love to Hashem as your father, which are natural, but nonetheless, to arouse them, you need your mind, and they have in it something of the quality of Ahava Rabbah. They live in three worlds. They have three nests. The first love, the chilu rechimu tivim, natural fear and love, apparently throughout the Tanya seems to be what one can call instinctive spirituality or natural spirituality. The Alter Rebbe explained that every single Jew has an instinct, and instinctively he wants to be connected to Hashem. And this is what ultimately makes a Jew a Jew. What does it mean that I'm Jewish, that you're Jewish? The Alter Rebbe says this means that I and you and every Jew, you have an instinct in you, instinctively you want to be connected to Hashem. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Rashab, once expressed himself in a discourse. He says, a Jew cannot be objective about God. He can't really be objective about it. He is innately subjective. And that's why you'll see Jews are either crazy about God or hate him like nobody else. It's very hard to be objective. It's very hard. You cannot be objective about it. It's part of your instinct. The Alter Rebbe claims this is the deepest instinct of the Jew. We have many instincts. Beyond and beneath all the instincts, this is the deepest, quintessential instinct of the Jew. Instinctively, he wants to be connected to Hashem. In chapter 39, he says that angels similarly have an instinctive emotional bond with Hashem, and that's why angels are defined as animals. They're called chayos. Because animals are instinctive creatures. They are pre-programmed. Certain instincts are ingrained in their very psyche. They gravitate naturally to certain things and are repulsed instinctively by others. And thus, this is how you can define this element of the Jewish life. It's animalistic love, not animal love as we're talking about, the animal love of the animal soul, but animal love in the sense that it's a pre-programmed pull that the Jew has. Wasn't created by him, wasn't generated by him, needs not to be acquired, developed. It's part of your instinctive self. What do you have to do in order to get in touch with it? The Alter Rebbe says, just remember it. Just remember that it's there. In the earlier chapters, the term is always Lizkor. In 25, in 20, in 38, in 39. Recall it. It's a part of you. Remember that it's there. Remember what it means that it's there. Because of this instinct, throughout history, the majority of Jews, in something that has been viewed and is still viewed by every rational historian as incomprehensible and abnormal, millions and millions and millions of Jews tragically spit at physical life in its face and died for Hashem. And were ready to undergo deep pain and torture to remain Jewish. And Alter Rebbe said, you're dealing even with Jews who are lightheaded and who were sinners throughout their entire life. But at a certain moment in their life, when this dimension of their soul felt that they're being torn away, they're being severed from Hashem, all the bells go off. And when then this instinct emerges, it's the deepest instinct in you. And he says, naturally you choose Hashem. You don't want to be disconnected from Him. So at the core, at the deepest level of all our instincts is this instinct. I want to be connected to Hashem. On a higher level is the chilu rechimu sichla, intellectual love and fear, which is totally of a different world, of a different reality. This is not natural spirituality, instinctive spirituality. This is thought out spirituality, created spirituality. Through your mind, you meditate on the truths of spirituality, on the truths of godliness, through deep contemplation and reflection. And as a result of that, you create emotions that are born from this contemplation and meditation. And these two emotions are connected to two worlds. One to the spiritual world of Yetzirah and one to the spiritual world of Briah. We have learned at the end of the 30s at length the concept of the four worlds. In a sentence, one can say as follows. When the presence of Hashem in His essence is manifest, nothing else has a presence. The concealment of Hashem's intimate presence, that is what produces worlds, which means self-conscious realities, realities that experience themselves. And these worlds, there is a whole series of worlds, a progressive series of worlds, based on the intensity of the concealment. The deeper the concealment, the more the self-consciousness. Asiya, the lowest world, is the opaque universe. In this world, ego reigns. My ego reigns, every person's ego reigns. This is an opaque, concealed world. The veil here is very intense. Beginning from Yetzirah and up, we're dealing with much more translucent and transparent worlds. The question is to what extent. Yetzirah is a world in which there is identity, but identity which is extremely attracted emotionally to godliness. Godliness is very appealing for those identities. The identity of the creatures of Yetzirah is that they instinctively gravitate towards godliness. Bria is already a transcendental world. Bria is the world of the intellect which can transcend its own makeup. Bria is not an instinctive world. Bria is a world in which its creatures can meditate and reflect upon the truths of godliness that transcend their identity, and as a result of that, nullify their identity within the presence of that truth. It's not a prefixed, a pre-existing identity that's godly. It's a recreated identity as a result of vision, which we discussed in 39 at length. In Atzilus, there's no creature experiencing godliness through vision. In Atzilus, there's no eye. It's a godly world. And therefore, the love which is instinctive is connected to Yetzirah. The love which is intellectual, created based on a vision, on a transcendental vision, is Bria. And Avarabo, which is a gift from above, a fire of Hashem, in which I melt away totally, that's from the world of Atzilus, in which there's no I. Torah mitzvahs, the Alter Rebbe said also in Tanya, need wings. They need wings to elevate them. Because Torah and mitzvahs, although they really are an expression of Hashem's intimate self that transcends even Atzilus, but nonetheless, being performed in the physical world, the godly energy within it is concealed, is opaque. What are the wings? The wings are love and awe. The spirituality that accompanies the performance of a mitzvah elevate the mitzvah. They allow the mitzvah or the Torah to soar. What does it mean to soar? They reveal within the mitzvah its significance as it's viewed in the higher spiritual, less opaque worlds. When I perform a mitzvah with instinctive love, I reveal in the mitzvah how it is looked upon in the world of Yetzirah. When I am inspired to do the mitzvah, what impacts me to do the mitzvah, what fuels the mitzvah is the rational love, the transcendental love. It's elevated to the world of Bria, which means the mitzvah as it's seen in the world of Bria, that is what becomes manifest in the mitzvah. And so on in the next world as well. It was once a day after Simchas Torah, the night Mitzoy Simchas Torah, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with his students. And the Baal Shem Tov told the students, and he said, I want to share with you what happened this morning in the higher worlds, in Gan Eden and Paradise. He says, you know, the angels were up right at dawn, ready to sing their praises before Hashem this morning. But they had a problem. Problem is, the Gemara says in Chulin, right, that the angels cannot start singing Shira, cannot sing in God's praises till the Jews begin the process. Gemara learns it out from a pasuk in Iyov. From a pasuk in Iyov, Baron Yachad Keich Vibaker, the angels cannot begin singing till the Jews begin the process. He says, but last night the Jews danced all night. There were many cities in which the Jews drank a little bit of l'chaim. And therefore, Simchas Torah in the morning, most Jews sleep in a little bit. So the angels, but the angels don't drink alcohol. The angels also don't dance all night. The angels also don't get exhausted from dancing, even if they do take a little dance in Simchas Torah. So they were up bright and early, ready to start their praise, but the Jews didn't show up yet. So what do angels do? They were bored. So they decided, let's clean up the Gan Eden. For a long time, you know, every day there's so much action going on, we never get a time to clean it out. Let's clean it out. Let's do a major cleanup. There's plenty going on there. This world has to be cleaned. You agree? The higher worlds also have to be cleaned in their own way. Cleansed. So the angels go, they start scrutinizing Gan Eden, and you're right, it wasn't too dirty. Clean up occupied a very short while, but they came across a very weird object that they could not figure out what that object is. And they're looking and searching and scrutinizing it from top to bottom. They can't figure out what it is. So they decided to summon Malach Michal, the Baal Shem Tov says. Michael the angel, known as the advocate of the Jewish people, and they say, Michal, what is it? What is this? Michal says, these are torn shoes and broken heels from the dancing last night in all of the shuls during Hakafas. They say, what is this? You know, usually malachim were accustomed to find tzitzis, to find tefillin, to find talesim, but shoes, heels, soles, they were never accustomed to find. So Malach Michal says, this is my merchandise. These are the remains of last night's hakafas. When Jews danced with the Torah all night, these were the remains. And he began to count before them every shoe, every heel. And he said, so many and so many from Kamenka, so many and so many from Broad, so many and so many from Mizrich, so many and so many from Mezhebuzh. And he went from city to city, from Vitebsk, from Minsk, from Vilna, he went from city to city. These are the shoes from here, the shoes from here. And Michal said, he said, Matat, which is one of the famous angels, Talmud says, ties crowns every day for Hashem out of the Jews' prayers. He says, today I'm going to fashion an even more glorious crown than Matat fashions. I'm going to make a crown for the Almighty out of these torn shoes. Now, if you'd come to shul in the morning after Simchas Torah, particularly a Chassidish shul where there was a lot of dancing going on, and you'll see the shoes, what does it look like? The odor is not so enjoyable, the sight is not that appealing, etc. But Michal had a whole storehouse in Gan Eden from these shoes, from which he was going to make a crown. So the answer is, you know, there is how these shoes look in the world of action, and these, like how these same broken shoes are seen in the world of formation, in the world of Yetzirah. Over there, the shoes are different. And the same is true tzitzis or tefillin. This is even shoes, but certainly when you're talking about real mitzvahs, I told you once that Levi Yitzchak Bar Dichter said that if they were to take in a tzitzis into Gan Eden, the whole Gan Eden would burn. A real tzitzis. You know, we wear tzitzis for 90 years and nobody gets burnt, thank God. Because a mitzvah is totally of a different reality. A mitzvah, in fact, is an expression of Hashem's intimate identity, that intimate identity in whose presence everything is as though naught. It's Hashem's intimate self. But in this world, there is a major veil and it conceals it all. So a mitzvah needs wings. And the wings are inspiration that come from higher worlds. And they imbue the mitzvah with this higher perspective, with this higher spirituality, and thus they allow the mitzvah to manifest in a more expressive way its spiritual godliness, whether as it's experienced in the world of Yetzirah, in the world of Bria, and that's essential to fulfill the purpose of making this world a home for Hashem. Because the home is not only supposed to be a home in which Hashem lives, but it's supposed to be a home in which Hashem is luminescent. Not just a dark home, but a lit up home, as explained in 39 and 40. So this is now what Alter Rebbe is saying here. It reminds me that there's a story that Alter Rebbe used to learn every day for 6 hours with Reb Avraham HaMalach. Reb Avraham, the angel, who was the Mezritch Magid's son. And when the Alter Rebbe came to Mizrich as a young man, he came as a 19-year-old man, he learned every day 6 hours with Reb Avraham. He would teach Reb Avraham HaMalach 3 hours, halacha, gemara. Reb Avraham HaMalach would teach him Kabbalah.